the stuff that you actually came here for. We're going to be talking about the Bible, but before we talk about the Bible, I want to talk about something completely different, and that's superheroes. Who can tell me some superheroes? Like, name them off the top of your head. Favorite superhero. Yep.
Star-Lord.
Fair. Same for superhero. What was it?
Yeah, Groot. Yeah.
Groot. Okay.
Captain America.
Captain America. Woman after my own heart right there. Give me one more.
Batman.
Finally getting some DC representation. So, what makes a superhero a hero?
They save the world.
I heard it over here. What is it? He saves people. That's right. What makes a hero is that they're saving people. Can you think of some real life heroes? Like, not superheroes from comics, some real life heroes. What is it?
Firefighters.
Absolutely. What is it? Cops. 100%. We got any more?
Lifeguards.
Yeah. How about doctors, medical professionals? I got to include them because two of my siblings are medical professionals. They're going to rip me apart if I don't. But very medically sound. But the thing that I want you guys to think about is that what makes a hero, Connor, what makes a hero? What makes a hero? They save people. And if you're saving people, what are you saving them from?
Danger.
That's right. Heroes save people from disasters. They save people from sicknesses. They save people from bad guys, you know, super villains. Or they save people from death. Like a doctor, a lot of times that's what they're doing. Or a lifeguard or a firefighter. You're saving people's lives. But what if I told you that there's an even bigger monster, there's an even bigger disaster, there's an even bigger sickness in every single person than anything that we've just named? Who knows what I might be talking about? It is not COVID-19. What is it?
Sin.
That's right. We're going to be talking about sin. And tonight, we're starting a new series. Up until now, we've been talking about 1 Corinthians. And who can remind me, what if you're a Christian, what is your job in this world? Yes?
To be a
missionary. And it's really important, if you're going to be a missionary, that you understand the gospel, because that's what you're sharing with people. And tonight, we're starting a series. We're going to start a series on the gospel. We did this same series last year, and we're going to be doing this series every single year. We're going to talk about sin, we're going to talk about hell, we're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about salvation, because you guys need to understand this if you're going to be heroes. Because what opportunity do you guys have? If you have the antidote to sin, what can you save people from? Yeah, you're saving people from hell. You're saving people from sin. You're doing the thing. You're solving the problem that is bigger than any other problem in their life. Because even if you save a person's life, they still have sin. Even if you save a person from a disease, they still have sin. And even if you can solve every problem they have in this life, they still have sin. And there's something more important than that. There's a problem that only one hero can solve, and that hero is Jesus. So we're going to be talking about that, because everyone has sinned. Everyone is going to face this problem. So, in Romans 5, we're going to be talking about verses 12 to 15, and our first point is that everyone is a sinner. Last year, before I continue, who was here last year when I gave this message? Yeah, you guys were here. Do I have any students that were here?
No.
Wow, it's a completely new group since went back then. Wait, Ella, I think you were there. Yeah, I think Ella and Alex were the only ones that were there. But in that message, we talked about what sin is. Who can tell me what sin is? Sin is when you... Who can tell me? What is sin? It's when you do the wrong thing. Sin is when you don't do the right thing. Or sin is when you do the right thing for the
wrong reasons.
We've talked about this even after that, yeah. So sin is when you do the wrong thing. It's when you don't do the right thing. It's when you do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Last year we defined sin. This year I want you guys to think about what sin does in a person's life. So the first thing is that everyone's a sinner. And we're going to read in verse 12, and it says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those sinning, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. And the thing that's interesting about that, who can tell me who Adam is? Who is Adam? Adam was the first person. That's right. When God created the world, he created Adam. So all of us are descendants of Adam. That's right. So who can remember the story in Genesis 1 through 3? What did Adam do? Adam and Eve did something.
They ate from the forbidden tree.
They sinned. Adam and Eve were made without sin, but they sinned. And as a result of them sinning, it says in verse 12 that sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. As descendants of Adam, every single person that you meet is a sinner. If you've ever talked to someone about the gospel, has anyone ever talked to someone? It's like, hey, how are you going to get into heaven? Have they ever said like, oh, because I'm a good person? Have any of you guys ever heard that? Yeah. I'm getting head nods. I hear that all the time. I'm a good person. Have you ever met someone that said that they had never sinned?
Yes.
It's a bit less common, but we meet those people too. I've met those people too. But the thing is, if you are a person, you are a sinner. Every single person is a descendant of Adam and Eve. 1 John 1:9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you ever talk to someone and they say that they're not a sinner, you can just say, well, have you ever lied? And they'll say, you know, no. And then you can say, well, you just lied. Because, you know, yeah, right?
I've done that before.
Straight up. It's a total gotcha. But John says, if you say that you're not a sinner, you're lying to yourself. Every single person is a sinner. And what does that mean that every single person needs?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. That's right. Parker, what does that mean every single person needs? If everyone's a sinner, everyone needs
God,
the gospel. So that's the first thing, is that everyone is a sinner. Everyone has this need. But the thing that you need to understand about sin, why does it matter that people are sinners? Why should I care? Why should they care? And the answer is because sin is deadly. Sin has major consequences. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And Isaiah 24:5-6 says that the earth lies defiled under its inhabitants. For they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. If you want to know whether or not someone's a sinner, all you have to do is look and see if they're getting older. Because if you're wondering if you're going to die, all you got to do is look at your parents. They're just a little bit further along in the process than you are. And the result of sin is that every single person is going to die. Have any of you guys ever heard that sin? Like those sayings, it's like the king and the pawn get put back in the same box at the end of the game. Ever heard those things? It's like, you can't take any of it with you. It's like, what are you talking about when you say that you can't take any of it with you? What are you talking about?
The money.
You can't take money with you. And when what happens? You can't take it with you. I can't take it with me to Walmart? What is it like? What's the quote about?
Like, you can't take the worldly things with you
when you die.
When you
die. Yeah, and we have saying after saying about how everyone dies. You know, there are only two certainties in the world, death and taxes. Right? Yeah. So every single person dies, but that's not the only consequence of sin. After reading the verse about Isaiah, it says that the entire world is broken. Do you want to see more proof that there is sin in the world, that sin is deadly? Look at hurricanes. Every time a hurricane destroys a ship with hundreds of passengers on it, that's because of sin. Every time a tornado wipes out a town, that's because of sin. When volcanoes erupt and they destroy cities, that's because of sin. It's not just that we die and that we get sick. When Adam sinned, God said, cursed is the ground because of you. Adam's sin affected everything, and the entire world is broken because of it. So if you want to see whether or not sin is deadly, look at yourself. Understand that you're going to die. Look at people who are older than you and watch them further along in the process. Look at the broken things in the world, but also, it's not just the natural world, it's governments. It's all of that. When you see a corrupt government, that's the result of sin. When you see people that are evil and they're getting rich and they're doing well, that's because of sin. When you see, for example, good, innocent people that are killed by a drunk driver. And the drunk driver lives, but they die. That's because of sin. The world doesn't work the way that it should. Everything is broken. From the ground up, everything is shattered because of sin. But it's not even just that sin is going to kill you eventually. There's actually something more important that you need to understand if you're going to share the gospel well. And the thing that you need to understand is that sinners are already dead. Which that seems a little bit weird, because aren't all of us sinners, and aren't we all breathing right now? But if you read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man," this is Adam, "saying, you may surely eat out of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will die." And when Adam ate the fruit, he didn't just drop dead. You know, his wife and he, they got some, you know, fig leaves and tied them together, and then they had some conversations with God. He threw them out of the garden, and they died over 900 years later. Yes?
Sorry, off-topic question. Why did people live so long back then, but now we can barely live like 900?
Why did people live so long early on? Yeah. There's a few theories. So theory number one, Adam and Eve were perfect. God made Adam and Eve, and they had bodies that had not been degrading over generations and generations of sinfulness. Like, as the result of sin, it's not just that the world's breaking down and that each individual dies, but every generation gets weaker. Because our DNA is breaking down, things are mutating, all that good stuff. Additionally, there's some theories about the flood and how the world's atmosphere kind of changed afterward that made it harder for things to, like, live. Because immediately after the flood, lifespans dropped drastically. But conversation for another time. Good question, though. It's a very interesting thing. But yeah, where was I? Yeah, so Adam didn't just drop dead as soon as he ate the fruit. Instead, he lived. But God said, in that day, you will surely die. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Every single person is spiritually dead. The moment that Adam ate the fruit, he had died spiritually. For example, who can tell me the symptoms of coronavirus? Anyone know some? Give me one of them.
Shortness of breath.
Coughing and sneezing.
Losing smell and taste.
How about fever, fatigue? So if someone has like a fever, fatigue, all of those symptoms, if someone, for example, told you, "Oh yeah, I have coronavirus," is your immediate thought, "Oh, good heavens, no, you're going to have a fever"? Is that what you're stressed out about? Are you stressed about the symptom? If someone has coronavirus, do you just like put an ice pack on their head and you're like, "You're fine now. That's all we needed." Yeah, because what are you scared of? Are you scared that you're going to get a fever? What are you scared you're going to get? The virus. And that's because the symptoms, even though they're not like walks in the park and dandelions, they're symptoms of a deeper issue. Yes?
My dad's friend from work, she has asthma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a serious thing.
But she just got oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, I'm glad to hear that she's getting better. But are you scared of the symptoms or are you scared of the disease? Because what's the deeper issue? Is it the symptoms that kill people or is it the core issue, the disease? Right? And in the exact same way, everything that we just talked about, the way that people die physically, the way that the earth is crumbling, the way that there's corruption and difficulty in every realm of the human experience, all of that are symptoms. That's the fever. That's the shortness of breath. That's the cough. But the thing that kills you is sin. The thing that kills you is the fact that you're spiritually dead. And something that you need to think about with that is that, have you ever, like, let's imagine for a moment that you're on a boat. Let's imagine that you're on a boat and someone like falls overboard. What are you going to do? You might jump in and go help them. What else?
Scream and faint.
That's not very useful. What if like, I don't know, what if you had, I don't know, a floaty? What are those things called? Like life preservers?
Yeah.
Would you perhaps like throw a life preserver to the person?
Yeah,
those donut things. Those donut like chip things. Yeah, like you throw that to them, right? Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to save them. So let's change the example just a little bit. Let's say that no one fell overboard. Let's say that you're going wrong in your boat and you just kind of see a dead body floating in the water. If you just see a dead body, do you throw the life preserver?
No.
What would happen if you did throw the life preserver? They wouldn't catch it. Would you be able to save them?
No.
Yeah, it's like save them from what? They're already dead. They're already dead. And in the exact same way, so what point do you think I'm trying to make about this? Because if you look at someone who's not a Christian, what are they? Are they injured? Are they spiritually injured, spiritually kind of okay? They're chilling? They're dead. They're spiritually dead. Can they react when you throw them the life preserver? Is there anything that they can do to grab on, hold tight, or save themselves? No. They're already dead. The exact same way that you don't like find a corpse on the side of the street and then bring it to the hospital thinking that they can bring it back to life, it's important that you aren't going into conversations with people thinking that you can save them. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy. And this guy, he would go up to people and he would like share the gospel with them. And he would say, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I talk to you about, you know, your sin and your eternal destiny? Can I show you how to get to heaven? And he'd talk to them, he'd give them the gospel, and then he'd say, do you want to pray a prayer with me? And they'd say no. And then he'd say, let me share it with you again. And he would just present the gospel with them over and over and over until they either forced him to leave or said a prayer. Do you think that the prayers they said were genuine?
No.
They're just trying to get this annoying guy out of their way. And do you know why he was doing that? He thought that he was the one who was going to save them. That's right. But are you able to resurrect the dead body? If you can't treat the symptom, what makes you think that you can treat the core issue? But let me ask you this. Who can resurrect a dead body?
God.
That's right. God can. So if you're sharing the gospel with someone who is spiritually dead, are you able to save them? Who's able to save them? So what do you need to do first and foremost when you're sharing the gospel with people?
Pray that God would save them.
That's right. Because it's important that you share the gospel. It's important that you understand what sin is. It's important that you understand when you talk to people, everyone that you talk to needs the gospel. There is not a single person who doesn't need the gospel. Isaiah 64:6 says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. If you're a sinner, even the very best thing that you can do isn't good enough. Even the most righteous thing that a person does is still a filthy rag to God, because nothing that you do is unpolluted. You know, hand that to someone who thinks that they're earning their way into heaven. You're a corpse until God saves you. So I want to read the last verse of Romans 5, 12 through 15. It says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Because once again, who saves people?
God.
And in this one, we're talking about Jesus Christ, right? Because even though we're sinners, even though all of us are sinners, even though sin is deadly, and it has deadly consequences that you can see just by looking around, and even though even each of us are spiritually dead, Jesus Christ died. He came, he lived a perfect life, and he paid our penalty for us. He took on that deadliness so that we didn't have to, and we can be made alive. So if you're not a Christian, that's something that should encourage you. You are a sinner, and you need to be saved from it. But if you are a Christian, then you need to be sharing the gospel with those people, but you need to understand while you do it that you aren't the one that saves them. You share the gospel with them, and if they reject it, that's okay. You pray. You pray that they would accept it, and you pray for another opportunity to share it with them, but understand that it's in God's hands, not yours. But with that, Let's bow our heads. We'll pray it out. We'll do it in some small groups. Lord, thank you that you have saved us. Thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that no one has to go to hell, so that no one has to be chained to their sin. Lord, you say that if anyone calls on the name of Christ, that they will be saved, and you have offered salvation to every single person. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that and to see that as attractive, that we would see our sin for the ugly thing that it is, for the destructive thing that it is, and that we would see Jesus Christ as our solution. Lord, I pray that when we share the gospel, that we would share the gospel with everyone, that we would recognize that sin is deadly to everyone, but that we would understand that it's not ultimately in our hands. I pray that we would share the gospel foremost in prayer, but Lord, that we would know it well enough to share it with our mouths as well. Lord, I pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen.